Leviticus 8, verse number 10. And Moses took the oil of the anointing and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. So now the idea is this. We go to the shop and we find this speaker. Okay? Then we buy it from the marketplace, we bring it into the sanctuary. And the moment the priest, in those days, the moment the priest comes and he anoints it, the meaning of that anointing is that this speaker is now set apart. And what it means that is that you cannot use it to power sound for a party in downtown. It has been excluded from such use. Are you there? The only use it now has is the use that it sustains in the house of God. So you see, the anointing, our perspective of the anointing is not complete. The aspect you know is true, but that's not all. The anointing is also the utensil that God uses to separate things apart to himself. So you'll notice that those vessels, how did he put it in verse 10? And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. The moment the anointing comes on them, they are now set apart. They cannot be used for any mundane use anymore. Their use is restricted, is limited to the purposes of God. Is that clear? All right. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar 7 times. So it is the anointing that separated, that sanctified the altar. And he did that 7 times, both the lever and his foot. To what? To do what? To sanctify them. Then in verse 12, you will now see, and he poured the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him. Why? To what? Sanctify him. So that's why we say that number two, a consecrated, I'm going to explain, just give me time. A consecrated person is supposed to be anointed. Not just anointing to raise the dead, but anointing for separation. After that anointing comes upon you, it will amount to sacrilege if you still put yourself to mundane use. It will be sacrilege. God will consider you an adversary. He will fight you. I know you don't believe that is in the Bible, but give me time. Give me time. Okay? Now, come, let me show you something. Are you there with me? All right, so this is not in my script, but I felt like bringing it up. It's not in my script, but it is in the book of Daniel chapter 5. Are you there? Anyone in Daniel chapter 5? I need to read something to us as a congregation. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast. Are you there? This is verse number 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which he was in Jerusalem, and the king and the princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. So what is happening here is that there are some vessels of silver, there were some vessels of gold that were sanctified because the oil was placed upon them to separate them unto godly use alone. And unfortunately for Israel, her security was breached, the nation was conquered, and the wealth in the treasury was moved to Babylon. And unfortunately also, the consecrated vessels were part of the spoil. And Nebuchadnezzar kept those vessels in a secret chamber under lock and key. He never gave a prescription as to how they'll be used. Then his son ruled in his stead. And the guy felt that, hey, we had some vessels that we took from Jerusalem. All these years, we've not found use for these vessels. Then he ordered that they bring those vessels that have been anointed. The vessels have been separated. The vessels are no longer available for mundane use. And he said, because his girlfriends were there, his concubines were there, and he needed to make sport. So he went and requested that they should bring the vessels that were taken from Jerusalem. The moment they began to drink from those vessels and with those vessels, a strange hand appeared on the wall and began to write his judgment. Mene, mene, tekel, ufasim. And I don't want to go there. It's not on the script. Daniel chapter 5 is a problem that we need to solve. It's a problem by itself. It's a problem. A hand appeared. The first question I have for you is, what language was that? Okay. That's when we go into those things, you keep quiet. What language was that? What language was that? Those were runes. I would tell you about spiritual things. But not now. Not now. So the guy violated the covenant of separation that came to those vessels because they were anointed. And the judgment that manifested was instant. And that judgment deposed him from that throne. Huh? A new kingdom came and took over the territory just because somebody violated the terms and conditions for consecration. Mene, mene, take care. So whenever those vessels, anything, it can be you and me, but the day he puts the anointing on you, the meaning of that anointing is not first empowerment, it's first separation. Separation. It's separation. Because in order for you to maintain that anointing against leakages, you will need to live a separated life. Holiness is a prescription that guarantees that an anointing that is invested upon your life doesn't leak out. Yeah, so that's the reason why holiness is high on the scale. It's because now you are a consecrated vessel. Are you there? All right. So the second thing about the consecrated functionary is that he is what? Anointed. Go back to Leviticus chapter 8. In Leviticus chapter 8. Then in Leviticus chapter 8, if we begin to read from verse 22, you will see that a lamb had to be brought. And this lamb was called the lamb of consecration. The reason why the lamb was called the lamb of consecration is because just like the anointing is used as an object to separate people. Are you there? The anointing is a utensil. It's an object that is used for the purpose of separating the consecrated. It's not just the anointing. There's still another utensil that God uses for separation purposes. The anointing and the blood of the ram of consecration. These are the two things. The blood of the ram of consecration and the anointing. Those are the two instruments that God uses in his consecration package to set you apart to himself. Now, I want you to see the way the blood of the ram of consecration was used on the consecrated person. Are you there with me in Leviticus chapter 8, verse 22? And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he slew it. And Moses took of the blood of it and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear. Now, you see, in the anointing of consecration, are you there? In the anointing of consecration, the anointing will be sprinkled on you. There's no definite location that is of interest. Right? But in the blood of consecration, there are some critical parts of your body that that blood is put on. The first part is what? The ear. Is what? The ear. You know the meaning of this? It means you cannot hear everything. Your ear has a filter. It can only process things that are right and righteous. Filthy things should not enter that ear, because the ear carries the touch of the blood of the ram of what? Consecration. And I can say this without missing words, that if a lady falls, it's because of what she heard. A lady. Not a man, but a lady. Just whisper into her ears. The Lord will help us. The Lord. Hey! There is a mark of consecration on your ear. I know these days they have made Facebook a television. Many channels. But a man that is consecrated knows that he is no longer the owner of his ear. His ear belongs to another. So it is that which the one that owns your ears wants you to apply your ears to, that you can apply your ears to. There is a warning that Jesus gave. He said, take heed how ye hear. Let me get you that scripture. Take heed how ye hear. It's not on my script. You can help me find it. Luke chapter what? Luke 8, 18. Can you give me that on the screen? Luke 8, 18. Is it possible? Okay, it's not. You know, there were a few things that Jesus said we should take heed of. Take heed. One of them is our hearing. All right, so let me read to us. Luke 8:16. No man, when he had lighted a candle, covered it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but set it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Oh, you say amen. Amen. No. Don't be quick to say amen. He says the man that does not have, even that which he seems he has will be taken away. How is it that the man claims he doesn't have, but they will still take away something from him? Well, that is not my emphasis today. But my emphasis is that Jesus says, take heed, how do you hear? That instruction is an instruction that refers to people that are going to walk the consecrated life. And on the account of the blood that has touched your ear, it means that your ear is not yours. You cannot be comfortable using that ear to hear what you know God will not allow. You should snap and cut off, because the blood of consecration is heavy upon it. Hallelujah. So that's number one. Then number two, the second place that the blood of consecration was going to come upon is the thumb of his right hand. So the ear of his right ear. Two is the thumb of his right hand. You must have realized that if you lack the thumb, this thumb, you will need to relearn how to live life without this. So the blood comes to consecrate this thumb. If you want to carry a cup, you need it. If you want to hold someone, you need it. If you want to slap, you need it. But you see, when the blood of consecration comes upon it, it is suggestive of the fact that you can no longer use this hand the way you want to use it, because it has become a center of consecration. There are so many people that we should be slapping every day. But the reason why we will not make that investment is because something has something has taken over our rights from the use of this. It can only be used in such a way that it gives God glory. So remember, there is a stain on your ear. There is also a stain where? On your tongue. If you can watch these areas that I'm going to show you, watch them, you are conscious of them, you'll be an impeccable man. You'll be a perfect man. These three areas. It will also interest you to know that the blood from the ram of consecration was also used to touch his right toe of his right leg. Meaning that your leg should not stray to a place that God has not led you. Are you there? Your feet must not be in the wrong place. Your hands must not lift the wrong thing, and your ear must not listen to the wrong message. So those are the parts of your body that is called the consecration centers. If you manage those aspects of your body well, you'll be a perfect man. Are you following? Manage them well and you realize that you will be a perfect man. All right. So, since you got it, I had to contact my ancient books. I was in my study trying to excavate. I was dredging truth from ancient scholars. Ancient scholars, when I say ancient scholars, I'm talking about men like Andrew Murray, you know, very intelligent. Men like John Wesley, very, very scholarly theologians, you know. Unfortunately for me, I can't read anything that is shallow. Shallow things detest me. I'm on the deep side. I tried to change it, but it didn't work. So I stick with men that have content and substance. So I went to consult them, because consecration was one of the very deep gospels, deep messages that was heralded in their testimony. So I went to consult them. So this is what I got from them, the ancient men. Okay? So that I don't make everything Bible study, let me also make some aspects of it research. so that you will see what ancient believers believed. Because our generation is swaying off the track completely. So I just want to confront you with what our ancestors believed on this subject. Okay? Now, I have 9 points here. But that's the one I will give you today. But that's not all. Because I want to bring all, everything they said on this subject. I have to bring it. So that you can understand the way these people worked with God. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay, so number one. The person saying this is E.M. Bounds. E.M. Bounds. E.M. Bounds is my mentor on the subject of prayer. I found no other man, even in the 16th century, in the 15th century. And, okay, so let me not boast. Let me shut down that. All right. I did a 20-year theological exposition. I tried to find out who were the people that took over from them, Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, what did they preach? So, me and some theologians, we did the work. Is to find out the truth that has been in the body of Christ for the last 1,000 years. So that I will not be in error. It didn't start with us now. I don't want to be creative. I want to be within the middle, the heart of the apostolic testimony. So we had to go 1,000 years back and began to... I can tell you some errors the year they started preaching it. If you are up for that, I can bring 17 errors to us. There's no need for this. Let's stay here for now. So I did that work. I did it for 20 something years so that I will have authority to stand against error when it's rising, because it doesn't change. It's just various, it's the same thing. It has been before. So people go to us, the same spirit will bring that same ideology. And that's how they keep recycling it. And if there's no apostolic person that is an authority in the gate of doctrine, the church will become a charade. Okay? All right. So this is E.M. Bounds. Prayer and consecration are closely related. Prayer leads up to consecration. Prayer and consecration are closely related. Are you there? Number two, he says, prayer leads up to consecration, and prayer governs consecration. What does this man mean? Prayer leads up to consecration, and prayer governs consecration. What this man means is that consecration is a journey that is attained if you sustain a prayer life. Because it is not enough for you to know that Jesus paid for you. Your bright price was paid in measures of his blood. And what it will require for you to reciprocate the love of Jesus that was manifested on the cross is consecration. It's not enough for you to know that. The reason why we consecrate is because Jesus paid. And according to property rights, we belong to Jesus. We are his property. But even though we are his property, he will not come to take us by force, because he's a gentleman. He will allow you, he will keep you for 1,000 years until you become reasonable and you see that because of the payments, he is entitled to you and you are willing without any reservation to commit yourself to him. It's not enough for you to know that. The means, are you there?
Yes.
This is what our father said. The means by which you consecrate yourself to God is called prayer. Now listen. The picture that E.M. Bounds is trying to paint is that if you are consistent, deliberate in prayer, intentional in prayer, so what you are doing from your own realm in the natural, you are counting the number of hours that you are praying, okay? Which is not bad. But from God's realm, God is measuring how much of yourself you are giving in the prayer. And it's going to take you quite a long time for you to achieve consecration. Yes, you know that He has paid for you, and the way you are going to reciprocate is that you are going to give yourself. But the act, because this is what I'm reading to you from their studies, is the act of consecration. And I'm the one that gave, I read a lot, but I extracted what concerns our topic. Are you there? Yes. And I'm on E.M. Bounds for now. E.M. Bounds, the king of prayer. The king is the king. He wrote the most potent and the most takeable books on the subject of prayer. He defined it, he explained it, and he brought the experiential dimensions, he brought the practice and the procedure. Books and books like that no longer exist. Even AI cannot generate that book. No. You see, AI does not have experience. AI is flat, it's two-dimensional. It's knowledge that is accumulated with time. The third dimension of knowledge is the one that comes from people that have experience. So length and breadth is a piece of paper. But when you add depth, it becomes reality. So AI has no depth. You can get your brain stuffed with information. It is only the Spirit of the Lord that can give understanding. If there's no depth, you may not even apply it. There is a spirit in man, and it's the inspiration of the Almighty that giveth understanding. Augustine, is not about length and breadth. In order for it to be life applicable, there must be depth. So what I'm reading to you is from the depth. I read, then I extracted every part of the article that has to do with depth. I peeled it. Not the knowledge one. You already know the knowledge one. So what I did here is to pick the depth out, so that with the depth you will understand practice and procedure. I hope you know that practice is superior to learning. A medical student is in school for 6 years. They are learning new things and all of that. That knowledge, in fact, don't even submit to a new doctor. Don't submit, because the person, the true knowledge is in experience, it's in depth. The one you got by information is exposure. It has exposed you to the realm, but it's the practice and the years that you have up your sleeves that makes you entrenched, a professional, makes you a savior in the hospital and not a challenge. They finished operating my dad, and I was hearing the doctor speak. They said this operation was not necessary. Hey. So you understand what I'm talking about? Alright, so I got this from the depth, so that anyone that is willing to practice it will know the dynamics. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Alright, so and for today, we are focusing on one person. This is his work, E.M. Bounds. Maybe next week, if I'm led to continue the research, then I can bring two other apostolic people. Right? When apostolic people speak, people like Watchman Nee, their writing has depth. It has experience. But when AI, you know, AI existed before it came out. AI books, where it's just knowledge and research, it is flat, because Jesus said that flesh and blood, they don't reveal this to you. It means that flesh and blood can reveal things. That's research. It doesn't have the ability to give life, because it did not pass through the experience of a soul. No soul, wasn't it? I saw one app that There was a section in the app, they say AI priest. That's a preacher without a soul. That's what happens when you read a book that is not, did not pass through the fullness of experience. Or you listen to a pastor that doesn't have experience. There'll be no depth. The things you will hear might be good to your brain. But when the real devil appears, you'll be powerless before him. Exactly. All right. So he says prayer and consecration are closely related. So it meaning that the avenue through which you will consecrate yourself, now that you know that we are supposed to consecrate ourselves as a reasonable service, the avenue is prayer. But in order for you to know, he did not prescribe how much prayer can achieve consecration. Are you saying that? Because it varies for each person. But prayer is a means by which we achieve consecration, is also the means by which consecration is governed. This is his definition of consecration, E.M. Bounds. He said consecration is the direct fruit of much praying. Cause prayer is one thing prominent in a consecrated life. When you see a man that is consecrated, he has a lifestyle. And I'm going to show you the indices of the lifestyle of a consecrated man. So prayer is the means by which he consecrates himself. And the major, a very heavy molecule in the consecrated life is prayer. Are you there? Okay, let's go on. You will see the progression. Number two, he says, consecration is the life of personal holiness. Let's explain that. Meanwhile, is there any question on the first statement? How that prayer is the means through which you consecrate yourself? Is there any question on that? Prayer is also the means by which, when you are consecrated, that your consecration will install you permanently in the life of prayer. Prayer is not consecration, but prayer cannot be separated from consecration. Prayer is the means by which you are consecrated, is also the life of a consecrated individual. See, can you see, it's so difficult to separate them, even though they are not one and the same. Together? Now, he said something here that I would like us to look at. And when I tell you that we went 1,000 years in doctrine, don't think I'm joking. That is a work I have done quietly. I did it for 15 years. That's my quiet work. Going into the past to see what was taught, so that we don't get to be teaching something today that is alien to the ancestors. Because Christianity was more accurate with the first apostles. You get it? So we had to see the transition. Then what happened during the Dark Ages? How much of restoration took place through Martin Luther's work? And from that time till now, what is the progression? When we say this is the day of the apostolic faith, it has a meaning. It's because God has been restoring some things, and this is a new season. Do you get it? All right. So he says, number two, that consecration is the life of personal holiness. What do we mean by this? What is holiness? One, it means that I am separated unto God. This is a technical meaning. I want to tell us the meaning of this one, of this meaning. I'm separated unto God. Are you there? That doesn't mean I don't go to work. That doesn't mean I don't go to Target, to Walmart. That doesn't mean I don't visit people. But this is what it means. I can only do what God wants me to do. Can you see that life? As I go to the office, they may want me to do something to the accounts in order to manipulate a few things. It's unfortunate. I cannot do that because I am separated unto God. I can only be a party to that which God approves. Are you there? If God does not approve it, I'm not part of it. And I hope you know, if you live that way, you might lose a few jobs. You might lose a few jobs. You might lose favor. You might lose promotion. Because everyone that wants to live godly in this present world will suffer persecution. Are you there? So, I am separated unto God. Only God can operate me. So the things that God cannot do, God will not approve, I cannot be doing because I am separated unto God. Personal holiness. Two, God saturates me with himself. It is because of this saturation. Are you there?
Yes.
So, this saturation that God does, this is what changes my desires. Are you there? Maybe before someone gave his life to Christ, he had 14 girlfriends. They were spread across the U.S. One in Arizona, right there. The other one in San Francisco, El Paso. He was busy. May the Lord give you understanding. Now he comes to the Lord. So he has an appetite for women. But you see, because he separates himself to the Lord, and I'm not saying he may not struggle initially. The fact, you are not with me. You see, that struggle, the struggle he's struggling is a proof that he's born again. He fell one or two times and all of that, but he did not stay there because something inside did not allow him to stay there. That's a proof that he's born again. Now, the reason why he will find victory is because he comes to a point in his separation when God now saturates him with himself. He will now discover that the things that held him bound before, he naturally has victory. He would think that he's the one that has become more holy. He wouldn't know that it is God that is saturating him with himself. So when God begins to, this is the organic aspect of holiness. When God begins to saturate him with himself, his desires will begin to change. Somebody that knows him, when he used to make flights, he would make flight to California, L.A., Hollywood. So the people that know him in that ring, when they see him as a creature that is saturated by God, his desires have changed. Are you following?
Yes,
his perspective has changed. His appetite has changed. You see him running for Bible study, running for prayer meeting, 10 hours. The people that knew him before will say, you see, because he's saturated with God, God is the one that is responsible for the new desires that drives him. Although he doesn't know that very heavy supernatural things are taking place in his life, but he notices that he has desire to go for 10 hours. He wants to be in Bible study. He almost hit someone because he was trying to make sure he arrives early. That someone that will be in Arizona in the heat of the summer, when plastic melts, he's there. Ah. Yeah, amen. His desires have changed. The reason why your desires change is because you are saturated. So he's saturating your vessel. That is the proof that he accepted your consecration. Then he begins to saturate you. Your appetite changes. And then in 1 year, in 2 years, you yourself know you have changed. You know, it's easy for people to know when the change becomes so much that you know. How many of you, after you started eating 7 hours prayer and 10 hours prayer, you know that you change? Let's see. You see, it's the saturation. It's loud. It's becoming intense. Your desires have changed. You know what happened to you? You have been made, that's what we call, you have been made a virgin again. That's what we call the second-hand virgin. This is a virginity that has come by reason of Holy Spirit transformation. And when we are giving you out to a guy to marry you, we know that that past doesn't exist again. And even the man will testify. He'll come and say, you gave me something. You gave me something. May the Lord give you understanding. So, do you now realize the man said that consecration is a direct fruit? No. Consecration is a life of personal holiness in which a believer is separated unto God and can no longer participate in anything that God has not inspired. Are you there? So his taste buds are changed. There's this guy, he's one of us, but he's in another nation, he's not in the US. He had all the brands of cigarettes in Africa. Because I don't know the brands here. He has sampled all of them. So if he smells road mast, say this road mast. If he smells Benson and Hedges, you say, this is Benson and Hedges. Expensive. So he has been, in fact, one time he was preaching to somebody, but he had sticks of cigarette in his mouth. Oh God. And that was how God began to saturate him. He was able to go beyond road masks and Benson and Hedges and saturate him. And a time now came, he had to counsel, counsel with somebody in a shop somewhere. And somebody was with cigarette. He almost threw up. Because. Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is done with dealing with that appetite, the things you used to enjoy before, so that life is what E.M. Barnes calls the consecrated life. It means that we cannot separate the life of personal holiness from the consecrated life. So if you are consecrated, your life will be going in the direction of holiness. Are you there? He said he can no longer participate in anything that God has not inspired. Consecrated believers always sense the need to confirm if God is in a thing before getting involved. So someone comes, they say he's a billionaire, he has 5 companies, and money is just flowing, and he's saying that this is the lady that I want to get married. And then the lady say, you hold on, we've seen your type before, but let's go and find out from the Lord if, because some of you will be happier if you with less money. Oh, you don't know. You get into that arrangement, you become a piece of furniture. At first, for the first 2 years, you'll be going around like a model. There will be. Then that's all you will have. So you see, the person now goes to check, and then God now says, you know what? You cannot fulfill my purpose in that arrangement. And you find the person saying no to something that looks flashy. And the rest of the people says you are mad. Consecration will make people say you are mad, because you have a different perspective. Don't be afraid of being called mad, because what it means is that you are no longer like your age, your aeon, your generation. You are different. And the reason for your difference is because you are separated unto God. Every man separated unto God is called different. If in a day where pastors are merchants, pastors are unjust, pastors are not in the service of Jesus, you look like them, it means you lost your consecration. Because in that day you are supposed to look different, if it is true that you are separated unto God. Sometimes the accurate might be the few. So if you are not secure enough in Jesus to be different, it means you have not embraced a life of consecration. These are the words of the elders. They are not my words. Number three. It says consecration is a foundation upon which true kingdom service is based. Let me explain. Consecration is a foundation upon which true kingdom service is based. I was telling my friends when we were in Boston, we were taking a walk in the morning and we were talking. So they were asking me questions about consecration. I said, all right, this is the practicalities of consecration. Maybe you can afford 2 hours of prayer per day. 2 hours of prayer per day. So I suggest that if you are not in ministry, a minimum you can do 2 hours. And if you are in ministry, you are a leader, you lead a group, the minimum you should do is 3 hours. The 3 hours doesn't need to be 3 hours at once. You can take 1 hour in the morning. You can take 1 hour in the afternoon. You can take 1 hour in the night. You know why? Because you are overseeing people, so that your spirit will be open. If there's an emergency, are you there? The Holy Spirit can easily give you a sign. If you are overseeing people, your own discipline is different from the discipline of the normal people. Okay? Is that clear? But if you've not started overseeing people, 2 hours of prayer for your own self per day keeps you fit enough to receive transmissions. Now, if you pray for 2 hours before you walk into your day, for instance, you will find out that the ability that God will have around you to turn your face and to attract you from a distraction so that they can speak to you will be the energy of the 2 hours investment. Are you there? If you are in ministry and you want to run ministry, you want to do Bible study, you want to teach people, you want to hold a service, the allowance that God has to manifest himself through the window of your ministration is based on the moment that I gave him. I gave him 2 hours. That forms the scope of spiritual energy that can be manifested in his type of ministry. Ministry is supposed to be predicated based on what you give him. And if you are giving him nothing, that thing you claim is ministry is rubbish. You get that? Now, a time comes when Like me, I'm full-time. I'm full-time. When I was still working, I was working harder than almost all of you here. Because we didn't have public holidays. We didn't have Sundays, Saturdays. We were just working. And may God help you. If they move you offshore, they don't even know Christmas. You spend Christmas on the water. So I've seen all of that before. And our work was intellectual, it was physical. Because you need to climb tanks. And then fasting. They say, height we get to. Your leg will start shaking. So you go fasting. That's the only way you can get up. And when you go up there, and the wind starts blowing, hold something up there. If not, you will find yourself in a place that you did not intend. So I've worked like that before. And I was able to maintain my investment. So now I'm full time. If there was never a time where you did not have time, but you made time to consecrate because it is important. If you are full time, you waste all the time. You will create time when there is no time. That's the only way you can use time if you are full time. So now I no longer count how many hours I pray. Night and day. I slept 5 a.m. yesterday morning. Alicia can testify. We were talking around 2 o'clock. So I eventually felt peace at 5. And I'm not counting those hours in today's prayer. The prayers I prayed before I came here. So that's the life I'm living now. Till Jesus comes back or I'm taken. I don't count that. If we, after this prayer now, this Bible study, we say, okay, let us worship, let us find the Lord. It will be easy to hear him. Because I made an investment. And ministry is based on that investment. If there's no investment that you are making deliberately to give yourself in prayer, give yourself in prayer, there'll be nothing for you to stand on to do ministry. Because in ministry, you are dispensing what you have with him. That's what you are dispensing to the public. So if there's no consecration, there's no ministry. So the father said, consecration is the foundation upon which true kingdom service is based. Number 4. Consecration is voluntary. Voluntary dedication of oneself to God, an offering definitely made and made without reservation. Consecration is a voluntary dedication of oneself to God, an offering definitely made and made without any reservation whatsoever. It is an adventure in prayer in which we are never to be contented. So he's calling consecration here an adventure in prayer, because as you are praying, what God is seeing is how much of yourself are you giving. It's because prayer is the mechanism through which you give yourself. The proof that he is receiving what he is giving, what you are giving through prayer, is that it begins to saturate what you have given. Are you there? It begins to saturate what you are giving. And when you see that there is nothing that is not saturated, nothing else that is not saturated, we can say that you are a consecrated man. It is an adventure in prayer in which we are never to be contented until we are fully and entirely the Lord's by our own consent. It is an adventure in prayer in which we are never to be contented until we are fully and entirely the Lord's by our own consent. I found some scholars while I was looking for knowledge, Bible knowledge, to connect the generations of truth together. So I found some scholars that they did it from Apostle Paul and began to bring the truth out, began to bring the things that were taught, the things that happened while persecution came, how it affected the church, it affected the teachings. So all we had to do was to do it, to add what was happening for the last 35 years to that. Right? Then, if you see through that lens, you will see how much the devil has done to take truth away from the pulpit. Are you there? Number five, consecration is not so much the setting of oneself apart from sinful things, but rather the separation from legitimate things if they come in conflict with God's plans and purposes. I know you didn't hear that. I'll try again. He said consecration is not so much the setting of oneself apart from sinful things, but rather the separation from legitimate things if they come in conflict with God's plans and purposes. Legitimate things. But these legitimate things can come in conflict with God. And consecration will require that you set that legitimate thing aside. Are you there? For instance, Paul was speaking, and Paul says, if you're eating a certain food which has been offered to idols, if that you're eating will affect somebody's faith, because the person is a babe, the person doesn't understand that we don't recognize idols. Okay? So if you're eating of that food will affect the person's faith, it will mean to that person that you have started fellowshipping with idols by eating that food, even though that is not so. Because Jesus died for this person, I'm willing to pay the price of not eating that food so that I don't shipwreck that person's faith. So consecration will require that we carry out these kinds of sacrifices in favor of God's purposes, in favor of God's will. So you will hear Paul says, all things are lawful, but not all things are necessary. You get that?
Yes.
Okay. So, there were places I went to. I went to preach in one nation, and they were far poorer than we were. Our own nation is poor, but I saw a nation that was poorer than we were, which is very difficult, but I found one. So we were like 2,000 in the meeting, and I don't want to mention the name of their money because I know you have not heard it before. My offering was $200. When they collected the offering of 2,000 people and converted it to dollars, my $200 was more than the offering of 2,000 people. Think about it. They gave a lady 80,000 of that their money, and somebody stole it. And then she wanted to hang herself. They now arrested her. They delivered her from hanging herself and brought her to me in church. I said, calculate that money in dollars. How much was it? I don't want to mention the money. You, I think it was $250 for which she wanted to hang herself. I gave her the $250. I said, don't hang yourself. Eh? So when that, it means I bought her life. So she was not asking me, what do I want to do with her life? I say, I want Jesus. I connected her to Jesus. These are things I encountered on the mission. Meanwhile, the name of that country is Malawi. Kwacha. The Malawian Kwacha. Go and find out. Are you there? Number what? Number 6. Consecration. Okay, this is a complex one. I will need the board to explain this. The explanation is in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. So, he says, consecration is not all that there is in holiness. So, according to E.M. Bounds, consecration is half of holiness. Is what? Half of holiness. Nicole, the orator of the house, take your Bible and read Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. You are going to see the two sides of holiness. And number one is consecration.
In Leviticus 20, verses 7 through 8.
Yes?
Sanctify yourselves.
This is God speaking to his people.
Therefore, and be ye holy.
Sanctify yourself, therefore, and be ye holy.
For I am the Lord your God.
For I am the Lord your God.
And ye shall keep my statutes.
You shall keep my statutes.
And do them.
Now wait. Wait. Start again.
Sanctify yourselves, therefore.
Sanctify yourselves, therefore.
And be ye holy.
Be ye holy.
For I am
the Lord
your God.
Okay, go on.
And you shall keep my statutes.
Shall keep my statutes.
And do them. For I am the Lord which sanctifies you.
So God is saying, I am sanctifying you. He says, I am sanctifying you here. Then he says, sanctify yourselves here. Can you see the way God is speaking? Sanctify yourselves, because I will sanctify you. So there are two aspects of holiness. The giving of yourself, which is consecration through prayer, is one. And then as you are giving yourselves, God is saturating what you give with himself. That's how holiness is achieved. You cannot make yourself holy. You can only give yourself. And then God now sanctifies you by saturating you with himself. The proof of such saturation is in your taste buds, your appetites, your desires. You are a new man. So when you see the scripture that says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. What I would like you to understand about that scripture is that your newness is a process. It's not instant. And I told you that I'm going to teach on that scripture and remove all the misconceptions that is tied to that scripture so that you can see. I will support it with so many other scriptures, and then you will see through the lens of that scripture accurately. The newness we are talking about is a process. It's not quick fix. It's not a miracle. It's a process. It's just like in marriage, you say the two shall become one. That becoming one doesn't take place at the altar. Shall become one. Do you get it? Okay, this is the idea of marriage. The idea of marriage is that we are members of the body of Christ. That means we are uniquely one in Christ. It is because we are already uniquely one in the Spirit in Christ Jesus that we have this destiny that the two shall become what? One. Because we are already one in Christ. And our own special, particular experience of marital relationship will now bring us to a point where we are one in spirit, one in soul, and one in mind. Okay? So that if I give a judgment on a matter and walk away, and my wife comes and you confront her with the same situation, she is likely to give the same judgment when we achieve that oneness. So there will be so much harmony because, you know, partnership has succeeded. But if the person is not born again, you'll be expecting too much for you to think that you become one. All you need to do in that situation, meanwhile, I don't even know how you got there, but all you need to do, may the Lord give you understanding. I don't know how you got there, but if you're already there, the Bible doesn't approve for you to run away. Yes, the unbeliever can run away if he wants. But you cannot run away. Yeah. You didn't hear me. Okay, that's why I don't like talking about sensitive issues. Let me leave it. The unbeliever can run away. I can show you. You've not read 1 Corinthians chapter 7? It says, if the unbelieving partner wants to depart, let him depart. I don't like teaching this scripture because, no, I don't like teaching that scripture. He didn't say anything about the believer, but he said, if the unbeliever wants to leave, let him leave. In that case, that scripture captures it very clearly. That if he leaves, that is abandonment, because he cannot fellowship with you, that is a believer, that marriage has ended. That is in the eyes of God. Yes. Yes, it has ended in the eyes of God. So there are two, three grounds of that arrangement. And I don't want to teach you so that you will not come and say, yes, this ground. You showed us this. So, based on this, so we will need to be careful with believers because they don't forget. So, our ancestors, they never thought those matters. They never. Because they know what will happen. So if you have a situation, we'll look at your case. We'll counsel you, do all we can. We'll know how it works out. Okay? So that's why we're here. We're here to help. But the first reaction will not be leave your house, pack your things, go to the court for... No. That's not the first. That is not it. There are so many options that can take place. And you can even save that situation. And the person that is an unbeliever can still be saved. Yes, there is a formula. There's a formula. Especially if he doesn't go. But if he goes, you are no longer in bondage to that covenant. That's what the Bible says. But I don't want to open it so that you don't come and quote it and say, you. Are you there? So holiness has two sides. So this side is sanctify yourselves, that's consecration. Then the Lord will sanctify you, that is saturation. It is these two things that make for the sanctified life. Someone that is giving himself to the Lord every day through prayer. Are you there? And then the Lord is possessing him and saturating him. He's possessing him. That cycle is a cycle of the sanctified life. If that man stands close to the enemy will scream. Because he's not of this world. Satan has no plans to meet such people on earth. He's not of this world. He's saturated with God. The things that will happen if God were present will happen in his presence. Because through the process of giving himself and God's sanctifying him and God are becoming one. This is the greatest gospel. And it is when people are sanctified like this. Yeah, you have a question. Okay. Please equip him with a microphone. Yeah, so know this, that you are at liberty to, if you want to ask, just, I will not run away from your hands. Okay.
So as far
you don't need to stand up, sit down.
Okay.
Yes.
So as far as the consecrated life is concerned, does this mean that our personality will change? And what are some things that we can do to manage our emotions?
Amen. Did you get all these ones? Okay. We must be talking what we are talking within a context. You have a spirit. Is that true? You have a soul, which consists of your mind. It consists of your will and what? Emotions. Then you have what? A body. Is that true? Your body has what we call appetites. Is that true? These appetites, A is the need to rest. Rest is an appetite. B, thirst is an appetite. C, hunger is an appetite. D, the need to see is an appetite. Need to see. That's how people got into pornography, because they want to see something. D, sex is an appetite. Yeah, I believe I got all of them here. What? Sleep, that's rest. So when you are tired, your body begins to communicate. Is that true? It doesn't say, I'm tired. No, but begins to communicate. So, and then you read the language. And that language, what it communicates in rest is different from thirst. Thirst is different from hunger. You get that? Good. Okay. I'm just trying to answer you. Your question is bigger than what you are even asking. This body here, sin, which is a nature, the nature of Satan is what we call sin. Sin wants to govern all of these appetites that are in your body, and then provide a legitimate ground for you to honor these appetites above the instructions of the Holy Ghost. Just like Satan came to Jesus on the appetite of hunger and say, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread so that you can satisfy your what? Okay, this is my class. You are not interested in it. Can you say that? So, the devil wants to use these appetites as a means of dethroning the Holy Spirit and refusing him a place of authority in your life. When he's calling you to pray in the night, the devil, sin will activate rest. And this rest will be so compelling. So that you now convince yourself that I need rest now. I need rest. You know the Holy Ghost is calling you to stand before him. But sin was able to convince you to disobey the Holy Ghost using what? Rest as an excuse. So that day, you're yielding to rest, to sleep. That day, sleep that day was sin. Because in accepting to sleep, you rebelled against the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Are you still following me? So I want you to see this problem. We have a problem. This one is happening in your body, the appetites. And the devil wants to hold you captive from that standpoint. That's not all. We now have your mind, the old mind that you had when you were in downtown. That old mind does not leave. That old mind is still there. The old emotion that you had. Are you following? That you love too much. You love on the train, you are loving. On the aeroplane, you are loving. In economy cabin, you are loving. You are loving. Hi. Jesus. May Lord help us. Now, this is it. When the saturation begins and God begins to saturate you, the object, the purpose of saturating you is to make you holy. The first thing he will begin to do is that he will begin to work on your mind. He will begin to renew that saturation. It will begin to do what? Renew your mind. The saturation will begin to stabilize your emotion. The saturation will begin to encourage you to surrender. Surrender your will to his own will. Are you following? These things will not happen. You don't know how stubborn we are. You believe that your small brain is so intelligent, so wise. Then God will allow you to use your brain. You use it, then you will not fail. Then you will not know that you cannot depend on the brain. Even though the brain is still there, you will still want to seek God. And then God now shows the way before you begin to apply the brain. It means your mind, you are having spiritual experiences that has informed the fact that God is beyond your brain, and you will need to still seek his face before you chart your course. Are you following?
Yes,
now, in the emotion area, you go and love. You love a Flintstone, and you love the person with all your heart because you believe that if you love enough, things will work. Then this... this rolling stone that you have invested so much love on will just walk away. Then you will now discover you were the only one loving. And then it is then you will now be willing to allow God govern your emotions. And then for the strong will type, you will now hit somebody and the person will now die. So you will now pray and say, God, if you can raise this woman. And then she will sneeze and wake up. You will now know that you need to surrender it. All of these things are happening to you because God is saturating you. As he's saturating you, he's trying to defeat your stronghold. And it will happen through actions, activities, situations and circumstances that are beyond your control. But he is the one that is at work. It might look serious, terrible. You're on the bed, your blood pressure has gone up. He allowed it so that he can defeat your emotion. There's a stronghold. Yeah, you have to defeat it. So that the demons that come to provoke that emotion, when it is stabilized, they can no longer relate with that realm.
Amen.
Are you there? So the name of that process on your mind is called renewal. That's what it is. The name here is called surrender. The name here is called stabilization. And then in this chamber, he dries up the authority that these chambers have, so that none of this can influence you. When the Holy Spirit say, stand before me, you are resting, you are tired, but you are obedient enough in heart to take the first step, to speak the first tongue, and to wait for him to strengthen you with might by spirit in your inner man. You now discover that rest, that feeling of rest, was a lie, was a shadow. It doesn't have true foundations. So if you rebel against it, it will fizzle out. And that's how you feel lost. It's on you. Lost. You are looking... it doesn't have any foundations. If you decide to ignore it, it will fizzle out. It has no foundation. Because God has already crucified the flesh. So the flesh no longer has foundations. You can ignore it, nothing will happen. Because it's not real, it's a shadow. When it begins to saturate you more, then you begin to discover that there is life beyond appetites. Are you there? He begins to saturate you more. The things that used to control you, you can't conquer sleep. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Just ask him to help you. A day will come, sleep will be nothing because you are saturated. This thing will not, it's not a miracle. It will be gradual, as if you are growing. And a day will come, They offer you free sex. You said no. You know why? Because you are saturated. Nobody can make you like that, only God. And the process of Him making you like that begins with you giving over yourself through the instrumentality of prayer. That's the vision that God has for every one of us. So the man that has attained the sanctified life is somebody that Satan needs to weep about, because Satan cannot manipulate him. One more question and then I'll shut down. Any day I'm teaching Bible study and there's confusion, I won't run away. Yes, please.
Yes, so earlier you gave a prescription about 2 hours of prayer for the regular person and then like 3 hours if that, like, you're in a position of leadership.
I have a lot of prescriptions, which is based on my personal experience.
Yes.
If your problem is... Yeah, wait, don't worry. If your problem is here, this one, and you want to stop this, this appetite has been controlling you, you find yourself... accountant. Are you with me? I'm talking to real people, please. I know some of you have attained a high level of sanctification. No, it's not everybody. So let's also, you know. So someone is stuck here, and it's a problem. You know what you do. You know, that's why when Jesus was to face Satan, face that temptation, you know what he did? He fasted. What is fasting? He's starving the flesh so that he can stuff this. When your flesh, you feed every appetite that you carry. If you see someone that talks too much, he talks in the night, talks in the morning, insults everybody, say... All the neighbors, he has a name for them. This Mickey Mouse, this is this. Everybody has a name for everybody. When you find somebody like that, put the person on 3 days dry fasting. The flesh will be so weak that he can't respond. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Weaken it. Have you seen someone that has been fasting for 21 days that is looking for a woman? No. This one will dry up. The ability here will dry up. Give this person 6 to 6 fasting for 21 days. This stronghold will break. This one to break. Starve it. And even his lust too will not have any anchor. Are you there? This one, you want to see something. You're on Facebook. This is 14 days. This your eyes. Then you have your eyes back. If you want to look this way, you'll be able to look this way. If you want to look this way, but there are sometimes you are looking here, you are looking here. If you are in that situation, it means that there is corruption. 14 days of fasting will give you your eyes back. So this one is 21 days. This one is 14 days. This one is 3 days. This is 6 days. This is 14 nights. That thing, you must sleep. You must know, just 14 nights. Stay awake from 12 to 3. Do it this Friday. Do it next Friday. Because you'll be free on Friday. Huh? Do it for 14 times, you will revive. A sanctified man doesn't have any appetite that Satan can exploit. Satan is worried about him, that he cannot sell his products to him. He has different desires. He lusts for different things because his lust is God. When Satan brings his products, he doesn't find compatibility with him because he's sanctified. He's living for something else. He's no longer part of the age. He's not an actor in the world system. His existence is only to extend the influence of Christ. And that's why we don't take into account where you are coming from, your past experience. I know the power of transformation that is in the Holy Ghost. I know that power. Yes, so go on with your question.
So then my question was, like, with that 2-hour prescription, is that including the time to study scripture, or is it the 2 hours?
Just prayer.
Just prayer.
Just prayer. That is your, you, okay, you know, you inhale and you exhale. Is that food? Those are two different things. Prayer is your inhalation and exhale. Oh, negative thoughts, that's good. If you have negative thoughts, then you have a small problem, because your words have more authority than your thoughts. If a demon has formed a stronghold and is thinking through your thoughts, you know what? As long as the demon is thinking, you will be talking. Sister, what's your name? Yeah. Famata. Stand up. Follow my instructions. Every instruction I give you, follow it. Count from 1 to 10 in your mind. Now, what's your name? Where did you stop? She stopped at 9. Because if she wants to speak, she'll stop thinking. Two of them cannot go together. So talk and stop thinking. So when the demon comes and say, you, your purpose is that you be, oh, begin to quote scriptures. I am born again, not of corruptible things, but of incorruptible. The word of God. Preach to the demon. When you start preaching to the demon will go. Do you think Satan doesn't want to hack into our mind too? He found an obstacle. The sanctified man is bulletproof. Yeah? No. Speak in the, through the mic. You might be answering somebody's question, asking somebody's question. Ah, oh my God. Okay. So, where, let's find out where the camera is first. Okay, so what do we do? I will go to our WhatsApp. Huh? Then I would type it there. All of the things, I'll type it there. Okay, I've heard it. It's all right. You know, we are in church, and that's a problem. Okay, so hallelujah. People that have a sex stronghold is 21 days, 6 to 6 fasting, 21 days with 2 hours of prayer. It will knock it down. Doesn't matter how terrible that past is. You will diffuse it. And then what you are going to experience subsequently is that the devil will come with the spirit of lust. Whenever you notice that you are in, that lust is on you, it means 6 days of fasting. So, but 21 days you can uproot the stronghold of sex. 21 days. You need to see something. This is 14. Pornography. 14 days. Masturbation. 14 days. It's in this group. Hunger is 3 days. It's a list. You can see that hunger is powerless. That hunger is a feeling. Are you there? Test is 6. Rest is 14 nights, praying for 3 hours, 12 to 3. Do it. It must not be subsequent nights. You can do it every Friday for 14 Fridays. That person is free. So the person can wake up even without an alarm. That is the spiritual alarm. You can wake up by 3 o'clock. How many of you know the spiritual alarm? You wake up when you want to wake up. Yes, that means you are becoming a champion. You have exercised your spirit. Your spirit is beginning to regulate your sleep, regulate your appetites, regulate your desires. That's the shape of a spiritual man. Yes, last question, and then we close and pray together. Hallelujah.
What about pride and anger?
Pride takes time. Pride and anger, the things that are rooted in the soul, they take time. What you need to do is you need to swim against the tide. This is the formula. Swim against what? The tide. Swim against the tide. So if you notice that there's pride in your life, tell the pastor to put you in a group where someone that is younger than you is ahead. Yes. No, it's deliberate. You must be intentional. Oh, and serve that person as if the person is an elder. As you are doing that, you are wearing it. Move, change from your unit. Let them put you where you are older than the person, more educated than the person, more exposed, more intelligent. Then you begin to serve the person. Yeah. Begin to serve the person. Begin to serve the person. So when we talk, we finish the service, we discuss with people outside. I take those discussions. When you go to sleep, then I begin to. I'm serving that person. So there's no way I can come and despise someone because I serve them. It was because of the person I did not sleep. The person was sleeping. I'm serving. When you serve people that you are bigger than, you are better than, from your own and by your own estimation, you will see you are eroding it. You are eroding it. Stay there. Don't release yourself. Stay there. A time will come when people will notice something has happened to you. Walk against it. In a marriage relationship, you know how to get angry quickly. Get angry. First of all, you now learn how to say sorry. You don't mean it, but just be saying it. You are not following. I've seen your hand. Put it down. Just say it. Just say it. And keep saying it. A time will come, you begin to feel it. Yes, it will be real at some point. When that real one starts flowing, it's the Spirit of Christ that is enabling you to do that one. It will be difficult for you to go back to who you used to be if that river has started flowing. You wake up and said, okay, today I want to do something for my wife so that she will know that I went out of my way to do it. It's intentional. A time will come when something will be moving you to do it. You must take the initiative and be consistent. The Holy Ghost will say, oh, okay, let me help you. And that doesn't, whether your father never had a good relationship with your mother, it doesn't matter. Put that one aside. You have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is more ancient than everybody. Amen. Yeah. I have a weakness. The weakness is I cannot wear rings every day. I will not even remember. Where is it? Okay. So I don't remember. But my wife has seen me over the years that aunt is not on a ring. I've walked in it. And it's not as if I'm better than anything. It's just the grace of God. And there are still areas of my life that I'm still trusting God to improve. So I'm not perfect in the sense of machine perfection. No. No. Where I am today is better than where I was. In fact, where I am now, you can't even see my error, but me, I can see it. The fact that you cannot see it doesn't mean they are not there. So I'm still taking it to God. Like that. And as long as you are of this flesh, you still need to be doing that. Exactly. Please note, holiness is not machine perfection. That's not what we are trying to achieve. It's not machine perfection. It's a product of being saturated by God. The fact that you are saturated by God doesn't mean that you will not make mistakes and come to church and you are asking us to open to Leviticus chapter 2. Meanwhile, in your mind, you mean Exodus chapter 2. You will still make those mistakes. You will never outgrow those ones, those type of mistakes. That is not holiness. That is to come to a place where you always know is not holiness. That's not what it is. It is not machine perfection. So even in your relationship with your wife, you find out as cool and calculated as you are, you still find reasons to tell her sorry. You never outgrow that. You still be making mistakes. You never outgrow that. God won't give any of us that. You get it? So that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is being saturated by God. He governs your appetite. He feels your thoughts. You lock me in the room for 3 days and come back, I will thank you. You know what he will do to me? He will feel my tone. So I need to get a pen. I need to get paper. And as he feels the thoughts, I begin to download it. Those 3 days will produce a book that people will study after I've died. Sometimes it feels your heart. I don't know whether you experience it. When we worship, it fills your heart and you know you are talking to him. It's what you bring that he will feel. If you bring your thoughts, he will feel it. Bring your heart, he will feel it. If you open your heart, then he will open the scriptures. If the scriptures ever opened, it's because your heart was open. Yes? So two. Yeah, no. I've seen the two hands. Yes? No. Take the mic so that if your voice will be on the, if you're asking a question that's not relevant, the whole world will know. It's not only me, you too. Yes?
I was going
to
ask about rebuilding your faith.
Is it connected to my topic? If it's not, okay. Rebuilding your faith. Where did I say that? Now, okay, so this is what Jesus said about faith. The little one you have, if you start using it, it will grow. So have you been using it? Every day you're anxious. You're just shaking. And hey. Use the little faith you have. Trust him. Trust him to supply. Trust him to provide. And he won't come early. He will wait until you are almost arrested. He will wait until the police will arrest. Just before they arrive, he wants. You know why? So that he wants to develop trust in you. That you can stay in the storm and say, I know that my Redeemer lives. Use the little faith you have. That's why I challenged the pastors when we came for the retreat. I thought about healing, thought about miracle. Then I challenged them to go and practice it. Go, all of them, that they should go and do healing and deliverance meetings and send us the link. Let us follow and see what's happening. Because I went somewhere, the anointing was on one of our pastors. The person prayed for the sick, but didn't believe. body will be healed. Then he gave me the mic quickly. I said that. Wait. Let us trace the effect of that. And I was gauging it. There was a strong anointing on him, but he had no faith. Use the small one you have. The first time you want to pray for the sick in a public meeting, Satan will just come and say, what if no one is healed? I'm telling you now, because he doesn't have new tricks. That's the same thing he will tell you. Give him an answer. Tell him, let me pray first. Nobody is healed, and we'll now come to discuss how to handle it. Please tell your neighbor, pray first. Yes? give her the... Okay.
How do you deal with fear?
Fear? Why are you taking me out of my topic? You are diffusing the intensity, the concentration of this topic. So please, where is fear here? Okay, so she already put me on the spotlight. So let me ask, even though it is not, don't ask any question that is not related to, that's why I don't allow you to ask questions sometimes. Because you take us out of, we're not talking about fear, we're talking about consecration. How God saturates us with himself, because you offered yourself through prayer. Prayer is the means by which you offer yourself. And then the life of prayer is the outcome of the consecrated life.
Exactly.
The life of prayer. You just see yourself praying. So all those big men like Wigglesworth, I've read about them, they operated the life of prayer, because through prayer I consecrated themselves. So that's the life I'm living now. That's the life. It's a good life. It's a good life. I wake up from sleep sometimes. I know that today is Satan woke up before me. So that day I will not go out. That day if I drive, if I'm to drive here to church, someone will drive me. If I'm to go back, someone will drive me. Because that day is not a good day. Are you following? The reason why I can know that is not because I'm spiritual, not because I'm better than you, is because I live the life of prayer. So the gates are open to me continually. Now, the thing is this, faith is of the heart. Doubt is of the mind. Okay, let me show you the diagram. So faith is of the heart. Doubt is of the mind. It's of logic. Logic designed to contradict your faith. Okay? Exactly. Fear is a spirit. It's like an arrow or a dart. This spirit is shot at, you know, the Bible calls it fiery darts, right? It's an arrow. This arrow is shot at your heart, because your capacity for faith is on the platform of your heart. In the spirit, you have attained to your greatest potential. In the flesh, you attain to your least potential. So fear is the antidote designed to dissolve your faith life. Whereas doubt is a logic which you can always overcome easily with another logic. Like Satan say, this prayer you want to pray now, what if nobody is healed? That's doubt. Doubt is a logic. Is that clear? So fear is a spirit. Fear is an attack on your faith life. You know the cure to fear is Faith confessions. Faith confessions. So we're going to try some faith confessions in our prayer. Then you'll see your faith will be built up. So fear is a dart. It's a dart that is shot at your heart, so that your capacity for faith will either be blotted out or reduced considerably, such that in the situation, in the circumstance, you will lack the ability to turn things around. Exactly. Faith confessions. You begin to tell Satan who you are according to the revelation of the word of God. God's will for you is that you be the head and not the tail. His will for you is that you be above only and not beneath. His will for you is that you be blessed in the city and outside of the city. His will for you is that you be blessed in your basket and in your storehouse. His will for you is that none shall lack their young, none shall cast their young. That there's fruitfulness in your body. In case he's telling you that you will not be fruitful, you will not have a child, begin to confess what the word of God says, which is contrary to what your experience says. As you begin to say those words, then the Holy Spirit begins to infuse your inner and secret parts. He heals that place where the dart pierced. If you are still with me, say amen. So you tell him that you will not die. You will live to testify of the works and the goodness of God in the land of the living. He can bring the spirit of fear. He show you yourself in a coffin. Preach to him. I don't know who you put in a coffin, but for me, I will not die. I will live to testify of the works and the goodness of God in the land of the living. Your exit from this realm will not be by bomb, it will not be by blight, it will not be by pestilence, it will not be by the arrow that flyeth by noonday. Ooh. Preach to Satan. Don't keep quiet. If you keep quiet, you die in silence. We speak, champions speak, victors speak. The way of faith is the way of speak. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will what? Say to this. Faith speaks. Faith is audacious. Aiso sanlo makayato. Well, you can rise up on your feet. I want to be saturated. I offer myself so that I can be saturated, so that I can carry his mind, I can carry his passion, I can carry his flame, I can carry his purity. I offer myself so that I will be saturated. I give myself so that he will saturate me. That's the way of faith. Mera isa iko presto fela minato comprescato e monta ya babose keria brante cosqueto esamina coria presque iso manato e bosque tela e simandaria capa bosque te. He said, God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of love, the spirit of power, and of a sound mind. Fear is bondage. Oria si copre malatos keto prega bantoria eso se la minakeria eso se la brante conte mi ayato se copre zemonta zemokati zemonta alabora e mosketo minakedia e makabose menatila e makabose santelia e makabranta baboria e makasemina e makabrosketa minakadeli ayetoske ayeto mantelita amanta Kababoli Mashalita, Ebrokonda, Bila Mashaka Bosketa, Eli Kose, Elika Mansola, Ikome, you are God's man, you are God's asset upon the face of the earth. As you offer yourself to Him in prayer, He begins to saturate you. He saturates your mind, He saturates your emotion, He saturates your inner chambers. Oh my God. Can somebody say to Him tonight, saturate me? Hello, Seke Mantolia. Ababoske tamina kadia, ababosa mina sonte babodokoske, ablai takonte, amata kusketa breto, egobia sinte, egamanta babole bakaske. Yes, take over my mind, take over my emotion. Esobina telia, ekaito kelo, ekaito samakuntelia, ebramena kusketa mena sila, ebranta babose mansela. I come osamen asuke brante konda. I come osamen asante preska baba bonta. I come on aseli abresko bela iko brante konda. Amanta babose kala babode gaske. Amina sila bronda kamba babola tali. Oria rara baba santo. La 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 babosata. Ebra moska isase. Ebra mama mote kando. Ebra mana santa baboria. Ila bose. Ila brante kote manseli. Alaiko bres. Alaiko samonta. Alaiko semanike. I overthrow the authority of my appetites, so that the Holy Ghost can rule in my members. Ila rokose ramena kute alaiso santo alaiso selamena kadia e ramena soke bambolata aite alakora kaskata mena kedia elakanda babose kanda baboria elasima kante elakante babonde ayetoske ayeto kambelaite ayeto sika isatu in you. He's taking over your soul. He's taking over your body. He's taking over your mind. Hello, Seke. Amen. Eke. Alakoske. Alaman Santa Baboria. Ela Gila Bronda. Ela Sama Conte Branta. Ela Semina. Ela Calababoria. Ela Sebaboria Cante. Alatoske to Branta Baboria. Alababa seka bata bon ita masaye abresko pres abreska baba bote kaskadia abresko tamina kanteni elakoria balanta babose la rota santa babose kedia alekos kabina sobria tababonda amenasa itekes kamanto amesko sali amesko teka branta baboda amesko pre alaiko samakunda emaka yato minaskadia emaka yato minaskanto emaka yato minasanto elo mantelia elo keria bababosa abranta badento amena kila branta babalato ayeko skabelaito kampela. Oh, we give you glory and praise in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm seeing somebody like with you've had this pain on your stomach. You've had this pain on your stomach. Yes, it has reduced now, but while you came here today, you had an intense pain on your stomach. Please, where's that person? You had an intense pain on your stomach. An intense pain. Please come, I just touch you. An intense pain. Maikos kopre maik. Lekos keto mante kuria papa boske. Mera kasketo briata babut. Kaito komenasi. Alakonda iko brabeda kasketo. Ilobonde kasketo breba anteri. Amenaiko prabedo kosketa menakali. Mendo horokosi kakande kuse. Amai. Maisekonde, Ebrika Bakatula Bakatua. Can we pray for them? Can we pray for them? Maisoko Brika Bakasuta, Maisasode Kaisese, Abranta Babose, Mante Curia, Braca Mentoria, Esa Makescote, Makescote, Ecos Commando, Amaito Combrega Basket, Sopriata Babunda, Casico Presco Menasico Branta Babodia, Escopregeta. Alaba baba basik ayaba Maria siko sela brenta kuse mata babodi. Now God is healing one of you. So you are feeling the intense pain now. You are feeling the intense pain. It's not because the thing is increasing, it's because God is removing it. That may be you. Yeah, so I'm feeling that on my hand. Eso se le cobresco sa sico brante curia. Eso se se la mina casquetolia. Yes, it's removing something. It's uprooting something. It's uprooting something. It's uprooting something. It's uprooting something. Elo se sa si lo cobre. Elo se sa sane cadia. Eco bra asquetome. Yes, it's uprooting it. It's uprooting. So pray for them. Pray for them. The Holy Ghost is at work. Erakaya suke pray. Esko pray. Hante kuria bramena. Oh, we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We exalt your name. We magnify you. 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 We magnify you, Lord. Kila bose minalo koria. Kila manso koria. Rekos kantelait. Amen akure babasi. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus. So you see, when people get healed, I feel it. It's still working on that person. Huh? So you look for your own.
Yeah, it hurts.
Good.
It's getting worse.
Yes, it's getting worse. Yeah, I know. Because I'm feeling it. When you finish, don't worry. You people are afraid. That's the problem. When it's done, I will know because the healing anointing is leaving my hand. I'm feeling movement. So when it stops, they'll be healed. They'll be healed. Yes. Don't worry. It's becoming intense. It's working. Working within you. It's working within you. So uprooting something. It's uprooting something. It's uprooting something. Marokoche. Marokosi labokoria pramena. Ande kose beretes. Amen o santo. Ekoskeli abrante kuda masani. Asaso se la presko. Eko mena salibo. So we command it to be uprooted in the name of Jesus. Asiko mado. Asiko mado. It's still working. 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 Shikabaso se kaike yako santori. Mokoria presko se samina kadi. Shemina kosketa mina. Yes. Let it be uprooted permanently tonight. Let it be uprooted forever. Removed forever. In the name of Jesus. Let it be removed. Be removed forever. In the name of Jesus. Arababo se kedi. Eroko semina kadi. Eroko semina sikabai. Arama moskete. Ikoskaba subria tababonda. Oh. Ale. Somebody help me with that song. Exalted in the air. Exalted in the air. we sing your name. Press it. Press the stomach. One, two, three, four, five, six. It's remaining one. Seven. Okay. So now help me look for the pain if it's still there. Hallelujah. It's not felt. Do you still feel it? Because it has stopped. You don't feel it anymore. Now, Pastor Rufus, please handle that mic. I want to hear from them. Exalted in the air. Hallelujah. Yes. No, come here. I want to hear these sisters. Your name. Shocked. Okay.
But right before you said that, we just started praying, and I felt like something like dislodged. That's what I felt like right before you even said anything. So.
Hallelujah. Can we sing one more time? Your name. Feeling some pain. So tell us what happened.
So first of all, I'm gonna say before I come here today, I almost had an accident, but I said I'm gonna make it to church. So I've been experiencing this strong pain.
For how long?
It started this evening.
Yes. Okay.
So it got intense
at the back.
So I was praying, and then it kept hurling so bad. So that's how I stood up. That's how I started praying, and then now.
Okay. You don't feel anything anymore. In the heaven, exalted. Allow these two sisters speak because they were hurting. I was seeing it, but the healing anointing was flowing, so I knew the Lord had not finished. So let's allow him finish. So when it stopped flowing, that's when I started interviewing them. You are blessed. Now, Pastor Rufus, let's hear from her.
For the past couple
heaviness in my lower abdomen on the left hand side. And it felt like I overate or like overdrunk every time I would just feel heaviness. So when you mentioned that I came here and prayed, even so I was praying and praying, and then when you told us to fill our stomach, I started to notice the pain in the lower abdomen was gone, and it kind of was going up. Even now, there's no pain there.
There's no pain now. Okay. So there's someone in the in this place. I see you've had this pain on one of your legs. Yeah, you get by, but you've had this pain, and if I'm seeing correctly, the pain is like 3 years old, like 3 years old, if I'm seeing correctly. Now, so if you are here, please come. It's like 3 years old. This one. Okay. So if I touch you, you can go and sit. You can go and sit now. You can go and sit. It's like 3 years old. Okay. Hey, what's wrong with you? No, I need a microphone, huh? Now this is practical. I will do this for the next 5 minutes. Please, don't worry. We'll soon leave. But we need to help them, huh? Now, Omoge, you help me because you need to lay hands on their waist. If God reveals something to you, it means He wants to do it. Okay? How He will do it is not your business. All you need to bring to the table is just faith. Even if there's no faith, pretend as if there's faith, and then He will help things. So let's start with the most troublesome one. This one is a small case. Let's start with this case. So, where's the mic? Explain exactly what is... Hey, reduce it. Yes, give her. Tell us what is wrong.
So, about 3 years ago.
Now, listen to me. Minister Agnes, you wait. God is healing someone in the congregation. So, the anointing, the healing and... okay. See, when it begins to flow like that, I know he's already healing. It's a healing. From the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. It's a healing. Come. Yeah. Can I touch you? So come, I'll have to touch you now. Can you believe that these two ladies are... My God. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. Give you glory. Give you honor. Give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You are blessed. Whatever the Lord is healing in your life, let it be perfected from the crown of your head. Oh my God. Oh my God. To the soles of your feet. Let it be taken away. Yes. What happened to you?
So about 3 years ago.
So now he's anointing someone. He's anointing somebody. Oh. Okay. So Lord, as you anoint her, take away that pain. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So do me a favor, huh? Put your hand where. Okay. Father, take away that pain. Take it away. Take it away. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.